guy like me, and I know I am, you know it's time for Live for the Five Hole. Faxes from UncleDale.com's and the Sam Fells, but Who's Buying Newsletters official semi-weekly podcast. We are back from our summer hiatus. We took a quick break to fill out our Hinge profiles for AOC, but now we are back, ready to go. It is almost the preseason for the Bears and the Beloved. So you know John is in his basement. He's been there for days on end. He has stapled all his play sheets to the walls. His family has stopped worrying about him because at this point, why would they? So of course, we are in fatal four-way formation with the usual crew. We better get to it before I just hang myself here. Leading off with the biggest jackass no-tail in the business, he is Dr. Viral. He is also the CEO of WBCW and Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every Monday night at 9 Central. You can find him on Blue Sky at Torque Penderloin. It's Andrew Cieslak.
Hello, Sam. It's good to be back. I've missed you.
I've missed you, even though we talk to each other every day.
Well,
there's something about hearing your dulcet tones that is just different. And we're only here because of the one guy who asked us when we're doing a podcast again on your Blue Sky feed. So we're here for you.
We're doing it.
He's working the ones and twos for us tonight. He's our supervising technician and our technical supervisor, and he's Hollywood's go-to grizzled crank. You can find him on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. Strangely enough, it's Matt McClure.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth. And last but not least, he is the archivist. He's the goal line assassin. He is the oracle of Humboldt Park. You can't find him on Blue Sky at Fifth Feather, but he might find you. He's lurking in the night. It's Fifth Feather John.
We're going to have a red and nude summer lead right into red and nude fall.
Now, why is it just red and nude just to stay cool in the summer?
Okay. Yeah, for now.
Global warming.
It's too mm-hmm. hot. Mm-hmm. I long for the days of sweatpants and long shirts and big clothing.
Big jeans.
So you're just red and nude on the couch.
Big coat. Yeah. Absolutely.
But you will remain so once they kick the ball.
Correct. Yeah. There's baseball going on that's keeping my attention. It feels like it's been a good summer to go straight from World Cup, mm-hmm. Actually agreeing with everything that you said about the World Cup. I wanted to disagree, but I ended up agreeing with everything. And then it's rolled
been a big disappointment for you.
Yes,
I understand.
It's rolled nicely into baseball, but it's just too many close games and I'm sick of it.
You need a blowout?
Yes, I do.
Gotcha.
Well, you've got a baby at home, so you should be getting.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, she's being neglected now because there's too many other important things going on.
She's moved on from baby stage. She's a toddler.
Absolutely.
Well, okay. Fair enough. Toddlers can still explosively shit their pants.
So can John.
Yeah. It's a team effort.
And where is our lightsaber? What stage is our lightsaber in?
Oh, broken in half at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
My partner asked me what the lightsaber meant, and I had basically forgotten.
Oh, should we?
There was a Lucas Museum and Lucas potentially buying the White Sox.
Yeah, there was the rumor that Lucas was going to buy the White
Sox.
Right.
I thought his wife was going to buy the White Sox.
Yeah, yeah. So
you were red, nude, and had a lightsaber.
We were ready for it, yeah.
Yeah, along with our good friend.
And I had my lightsaber. Mm-hmm.
Subscribed Ravenous, by the way.
Yes. So that's where that.
Yeah, I couldn't quite remember,
is.
And I also knew that if I even did remember, it was obviously too stupid to explain to someone who lives in the normal world.
Correct.
But anyway, all right. I digress. It is not a very good Bears day to do this podcast again. But
well, no. Here's my Bears thought for you, Sam.
Okay.
Let's get into it. Go for it.
I'm not going to worry about anything until we get to opening kickoff. I'm not going
to
read.
So why did we get together to do this podcast?
Oh, because we had to talk. We had a big yellow pad, Sam.
Okay, you have a yellow pad, but you're not worried about anything.
Yes, I'm going to tell you to keep your spilkas down to a dull roar. That's why we're here.
Okay. dull roar spilkas.
Yes.
Okay.
So just the normal gurgling and grumbling then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's nothing to worry about.
We don't want to have a tsunami of spilkas.
Yeah.
There's nothing to worry about.
At this point,
avalanche
zero.
Of Ajita.
At this point, there's nothing to worry about.
And a month from now?
then you can start to worry about some things.
Yeah, what would I worry about in a month's time?
When the games are happening, we can worry about stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'll worry about Kobe Bryant missing when we get to week one to see who's one tryout to whether it's Xavier Woods or somebody else.
Good signing, I think.
I think so, too.
It's going to be a big Xavier Woods a couple weeks here for me and Slack.
That's right. Not going to be his name anymore, but yes.
It is not going to be his name anymore. Is Austin Creed, yes?
I believe so.
Yep. Anyway.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to read these reports. You know, they talked about the practice today, worried about what the offense did, and the defense made a big stand at the end. I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah, that I don't. That stuff is stupid. It was stupid last year. It's stupid now.
We say this every year, but basically what happens is we have our ideas going into training camp. We watch the beat writers who are at practice every day, report the things we didn't want to see or care about, and then we say, it doesn't matter, fuck them, what do they know? And then the season starts, and they end up generally right. We get mad about that.
Yeah, I don't think I'm at the F the beat writers thing anymore.
No, I'm not either, because it's been a pretty placid camp. Everyone says other than the injuries and conspiracy theories about warming up.
Yes, every defensive back dying.
It's been pretty last year too. Yeah.
Well, that's why there are conspiracy theories.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you know, they're going to be pretty similar, this team, except that the offense hopefully takes a step forward with consistency, and that's the team. I still think Ben is going to scheme up crazy shit. I think the tight end situation means he can do a lot more of it, because you're not going to be able to prepare for 12 or 13 while Colston Loveland can do anything and just mismatch everywhere. I think it's going to be pretty disgusting what they do.
In a good way.
In a good way. I think
you have to clarify that when talking about the Bears.
If the front can get to the quarterback a little bit better, the secondary is not really an issue for me.
Well,
I'm
now
not too worried about
Dio
it.
Knows that he's motivated too.
Yes, the meme is self-aware.
Dio mm-hmm. has been shown Slack's tweets.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't make that up. That's not me.
No, but you echoed it.
Well, the whole city's been
amplified it. That's
very popular. It's a very popular sentiment that he's motivated.
John, can I tell you about the equation that's in my head?
Oh, absolutely. This is why we're here.
This is how I'm viewing Bears preseason and the season. And there's really no way to see how it's doing right now because we can't see anything that's going on.
I don't like math, be warned.
It's not really a math. It's more a weight, a scale. But
okay.
I didn't know all those.
A heuristic?
As previously discussed, as we discussed before we took our break, a lot of the Bears season, perhaps too much in 2025, was late game, figuring it out, pulling stuff out of their ass. I think we'd all agree. It was exciting. We enjoyed it. I loved it. Not sustainable. So my equation is, how much does that late game magic lower versus how much is the offense consistent through four quarters? And that is how you figure out how much better or worse this team will be. I have no way of judging this until we actually kick the ball for real. I'm not going to learn anything by the preseason. My hunch is that no one is going to play on Saturday that anyone cares about.
Nor should they at this point.
But our guy Todd Monken is going to play his starters.
Well, and good for him.
Boy, he is Psycho a man Todd. Swimming upstream.
Yes. And proud we are of all of him. But I tried to go through the schedule in my head. I didn't actually sit down and look at last year's schedule, but I'm trying to think of games where the Bears had a good offense through four quarters. I think it was only like three or four of them.
Philly,
Cincinnati, San Francisco, Philly, Cleveland. Is that it?
Dallas.
Okay. So five really bad defenses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is my equation. Everyone says, You read the national prognostications, and there's so many, and they say the Bears will probably be better, but their late game fortune will run lower than it did, so will their turnover prowess, which is probably true. Both of those things are probably true, but if you say they're going to be better, well, that means the offense will be better, and maybe that late game magic isn't quite as necessary as it was last year.
So that's your equation.
Let's hope not.
That's my balance. That's what I'm watching.
I think that's a good equation, Sam.
Well, I mean, I think we've talked about this for a while now, going into like the run up to camp actually starting, is like there's a very reasonable chance that this team could be like qualitatively better, but have not as good a record as last year.
Yes, I see a lot of people harping on the closing stretch, and I guess I hadn't really thought about it, at least not since the second best show of the year. And I didn't even really think about it then. We just kind of, you know, fly by the seat of our ass on that one. Closing stretch is a little rough.
It's, yeah, you say that now, you don't know where it's
right,
looks
yeah,
at.
We have no idea.
It could be anything by the time we get there.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's why the best show of the year is the best bit of the year, too.
Mm-hmm.
The only team we can be sure about is the Vikings. They will have a horrible quarterback and a great defense, and that's the Vikings.
That's just how it goes. You think Kyler will be horrible?
Yeah, he's a fucking idiot. He's okay. Playing Call of Duty all day. He doesn't know what's going on. Kyler stinks. He's washed. I don't understand why people think
that Justin Jefferson will strangle him.
A guy you got for free is going to save your team? Are you kidding?
We've seen this movie way too many times here.
He got a one-year prove it deal.
what are you talking about?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's no. Actually, he's going to be an MVP. Sorry, I take it back. He's great.
Yeah. Well, Sam Darnold did it, so it's going to work for everybody now.
Yeah, that's the playbook.
Yep.
Solved. Why didn't the Bears just do that?
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Anybody can do it.
You know, it's funny you bring up Justin Jefferson. So I've been having this general football thought. Can I throw in my general football thought?
Of course.
Throw out anything, Sam.
I forget who I was reading. It might have been McGarry. It might have been someone else. And they were talking about how wide receiver has become the second most important position on the field.
Don't
buy it. You know,
on the
entire field,
offensive side of the ball?
I don't even know it's the second most important position on offense.
On offense, yeah.
No, that would be left tackle.
Anywhere on the offensive line.
For sure, offensive line somewhere.
Because every year we get some receiver, but a lot of them going nuts in the press. They're holding in, they're holding out, they're shooting themselves in the nuts. You know, and it's like, oh, you got to pay this guy $30 million. And I'm sitting here going, all right, who won a Super Bowl because they had the best receiver in the game and nothing else?
I mean, Seattle this year with Jackson Smith and Jigba.
And like there's one argument, and they had
that's
like
kind of the only one
like,
since Jerry Rice.
And they had a guy like quarterback who's like good. He's all right, you know. Okay, so there's one. Justin Jefferson's never been anywhere near a Super Bowl, and he's like the best there is. Patrick Mahomes is thrown to nobodies. He won three.
He's about
of
to
them.
Get very pissed off. I cannot wait to see.
Tom Brady, the one year he had like an All Pro receiver, they didn't win.
How many guys wearing 88 out of Dallas? Des Bryant and like whoever.
No, I feel like receivers have just become like the bullpens of football. You need a good one, but you don't need to pay top dollar for that.
Well, this is
you should always just be able to draft a guy.
This reminds me of the Micah Parsons thing. Right? Like he's the biggest acquisition ever, and once he's healthy, the Packers can't lose, and then what did he ever do in
he's
Dallas
never healthy.
That was so great?
Yeah.
Like, he has good numbers. Dallas
but
didn't
I would,
win anything.
I would rather have Parsons than a $30 million receiver.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, those are...
Well, who's throwing the ball? That's
yeah
the first most important question, which he would admit is true. I mean, yeah, like, if your quarterback stinks, I don't care if you have Justin Jefferson or Johnny Knox or who's the shitty Bears receiver? Equanimee is St. Brown. I don't know.
Right.
Gary
like,
Penis.
I just Gary feel Penis. Like the amount of receivers who come out of college
Mike Hass.
Every year, every top tier program is running 3, 4, 5 wide receiver sets. They're there. Like you can always find another one. You don't need to pay one or two if you're Dallas like $30 million. It can't be that important. If we can't like say like, okay, yeah, Cooper Kupp like was great in the Super Bowl for the Rams. He had Matthew Stafford throwing the ball and now he's a janitor.
He actually just won a Super Bowl with Seattle, Sam.
Yeah, but he was like the fourth guy?
That's
yeah, definitely not the guy.
No. Like Smith and Jigba is like the argument and I'll listen to it, but that's one. Okay, there's one. Anyway, let's get back to the beloved. We don't have to worry about this till Rome starts bitching about his contract and you can tell him to go tell his story walking.
No, here's why I'm not like going back to my original thought about the injuries. Obviously the Kobe Bryant one is
Tough.
It's tough. You don't want that. The preference would be that he's here and healthy, but
now that, you know, is the football analysis people come here for.
The Luther Burden injury, these other guys that are kind of like banged in and out, you know,
it's erring on the side of caution with all of them.
Yeah, yeah, no question. Like even if, let's say, it is a lingering thing, it's not going to be lingering for the whole season, you wouldn't think. So
no, I don't think so.
And I feel like a lot of these injuries, people get so nervous about them right now, and by week seven, it's going to be a complete afterthought. You're going to be like, oh, right, I forgot that Luther Burden didn't practice for 3 weeks because he had an injured groin.
Because a whole other set of people are hurt.
Right.
You also
right.
have to understand the timeline is changed by the fact that this is preseason. And if there were actual games coming up, he'd probably be questionable at worst.
Right.
Like, they don't need to push it, so they're not going to.
Right.
Time of year matters, right? And this kind of stuff, like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's why I just am not going to worry about this stuff at this far out from week one. By like week four or five, you're not even going to remember the Luther Burden groin injury. You're not going to remember Terrell Smith. If Terrell Smith is back by week one, no one's going to remember that he was out for training camp or it was iffy whether he would be starting or whatever. I just think a lot of these storylines that are selling fear, it's just don't worry about it. There you go.
I don't even know if they are as much. I think I saw a Biggs recap or something that was just like everybody's worried about the defensive backs, but it's the line that matters, and you know they're healthy and
right there you go. And like Montez,
we don't know if that counts for anything, but they are healthy.
You don't have to worry about Montez. I mean, he'll be there when the bell rings, you know that. And also he's one of those guys that'll get better
as
he'll get better as the season goes on. So, you know, yeah, I would agree with Andrew's point about whatever Big said. Like the line is the most important part, probably. I mean, the DBs, I feel like you could find those guys anywhere. I mean, they picked up CJ Gardner Johnson off the street last year, and he filled in pretty well until he didn't, but he still got you there.
Right,
you know?
He got you out of a game or two.
Yeah, so it's not like you can't find guys to take their spots. And even Ben said it today with the Kobe Bryant injury. He's like, yeah, it sucks. And again, I'm paraphrasing here. I'm not saying it verbatim, but it was basically like it's also going to open up opportunities for guys that'll step up that want to be the man.
That's what football coaches say.
Not always, Sam.
Yeah, I mean, when's he supposed to go there? Ah, we're fucked. We're going to give up 50 points a game. What's he supposed to say? Like, you know,
it was the way he said it.
Oh, I mean, you're just such a Ben acolyte.
Well, Andrew and I both.
And with good cause. I'm not saying you shouldn't be. I am too. But
yeah, no, I mean, I'm.
I just wanted to get the guys to warm up.
Yeah. Make sure you stretch before you get out there.
Actually, you know what? I'm totally committed to the idea that Ben walks on the field. What is this stretching chair? What are you swinging your legs around for? Get out there and hit somebody.
And then how do we feel about the sixth round pick that everybody's making noise about?
Oh, I feel like this is the new camp guy.
He's this year's Ruben Hippolyte.
Elijah Hicks is another. I can't think of all
Wait,
of them.
Wait, who's the sixth rounder that?
The defensive tackle.
High motor white guy.
Yeah.
Oh, the South African?
Yes.
Fuck him. Immediate disqualification. All South Africans. I don't care if you're a listener or not. Fuck you.
He's just the yearly. This guy's really turning heads. Yeah. And he'll look good in the preseason games. I have no doubt. He'll make some plays in the preseason games, and then he won't even. He might not even get a uniform.
Well, I feel like the show we did last year around the same time, we were making fun of the Ruben Hippolyte stories, and for good cause, because he turned out to be nothing.
I'm pretty sure they were saying he stank in training camp too.
No,
he was fast in all the wrong directions.
No, Sam. They were talking about how good he looked.
Didn't he get hurt after like four plays when he finally got a start?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But in the opening couple weeks of training camp, everybody was writing feature stories on Hippolyte and the, how the Bears maybe found somebody in the fourth round that nobody had thought was going to be anybody. And turns out they didn't.
No. Yeah. Well, that's Vandenberg. That's his name.
Yeah, Vandenberg.
Yeah. Okay. He, until proven otherwise, he is the beat writer fallacy.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, yeah, I think I'm they all get together and say, let's pick a guy. Yeah. Let's just do it to entertain ourselves. And then when someone calls them on the season, they won't own up to it.
Right. Well, no, they'll just make fun of the Bears for drafting that guy in the sixth round. Mm-hmm. Cause they'll find somebody else in the league that's doing well. And they'll say they could have drafted this guy instead.
You could just flip it around and say, is it bad that a guy from the sixth round worked his way into the first team reps like that quickly? Because that means the guys in the first team are not very good.
Well, yeah, I think they, well, at least the way that it's being framed is that the Bears coaches are giving him every opportunity because apparently he scored the highest. He scored a first round grade or whatever on whatever private test the Bears give draft
picks. Record, we do not condone testing privates. We do not.
No, we do not.
No, we do not.
They're using the Blackhawks analytics that are not.
Yeah, I was just. God damn you, Matt. I was just about to. He takes the test in the same room where the Hawks keep their analytic department that no one's ever seen.
Yes.
But then Jeff Blashill tells us everything looks great on.
Mm-hmm.
Our zone entries are off the charts the way we score them, I'll bet.
Well, you know, his son's not very literal either, and he's the same way of Lefschunov, so that's how he knows how to communicate to Lefschunov, because his son also is a takes everything very literal. Yeah.
Who's his son, Amelia fucking Bedelia?
Anyway. Back to the Bears. Secret Wonderlic or whatever.
So
it is
we got a preseason game coming up this weekend.
Yes, Saturday.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's right. Finally,
we got the Bears on our TV.
Secret Wonderlic was my favorite live album, by the way.
You're getting a lot of Bajent and Case Keenum.
Noon. You got anything going on Saturday at noon, John? I expect you to be right in front of your television.
That's what I'm doing.
Attaboy.
Breaking down hard football film.
I have to tell you know, our listeners, all of them have been around forever. We don't get new listeners. If we do, I'm sorry. I'm sure they think they know the rate of texts that start flying when the Bears kick it off, even in the preseason. No, you don't know the rate.
And
of
this
text.
Is what Sam basically abstaining too.
Yeah, I try. I have to stay out of it. I have to silence my phone because it pisses off my friends I'm watching the game with. By the time I check in during a timeout, I've missed too much to get back in. You know, it's I really need to like watch games with my laptop and just have it there in front of me.
Well, I think that's how Andrew does it.
That's how Andrew does everything.
Yeah, that's true. Andrew's the architect. Yeah, he's mm-hmm.
That's right.
Spinning around on his chair. Yep. swiveling around.
Now I really like the image of him in his control center just spinning around in his office chair.
Dude, what? What?
Firing off texts, firing off viral posts.
Feet swinging, you know?
Like Homer and Burns' son, played by Rodney Dangerfield in his control station.
Any other Bears thoughts we gotta get through?
No, go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to recap what I said, so it sounded like you had something new.
He's going to do the big finish like they do a big inning.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm eager for the season to start. I think the thing that gets my hair on end, I'm a little nervous about all the look how much better Caleb is looking conversation that I'm hearing.
I tell you what, I prefer that to our usual training camp answer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's good. It's good, but it just, you know.
It's unfamiliar territory for us.
It's weird.
What,
I think
it
that's
feels
it
weird.
Is, Matt.
We haven't been here before.
It does feel weird. Yes.
It never happened
even with like Trubisky. They were never like, oh, he looks like he's really picked up some things in the offseason. They were like,
they would always describe him like I described Lefschunov in training camp. Like this guy's got his helmet on backwards. You know.
I think I just saw a pebble fall out of his ear.
Right, like it's not. So it is strange. It has been a placid Bears camp, which excites me. And I know I'm not supposed to get care, John, as you just said.
Oh, but no, that's like good said, to be excited about. No, it's
every
good to be
year,
excited, yeah.
Especially the past 2 years, we get excited about training camp starting. And then the report's coming out that Caleb looks confused, or the coaches are not wearing pants, or they're on backwards, or everything just looks disjointed. And then we say, fuck you, it's only training camp, this doesn't matter. And then the season starts and they look disjointed and the coaches all have their pants on backwards. And then we just are miserable. So if all the beat writers are like, yeah, everything looks pretty good, you know, some hiccups here and there, but that's to be expected, then I'm just like, all right, I expect it to look pretty good when they kick it for real.
Yeah, I mean, and we can get into it on the best show of the year, but that Carolina thing is not looking good at the moment.
Well, John, they're having see the Hall of Fame game was so great.
Oh, was it? I missed that part.
Oh, it was so good, and it means something too, actually.
Yeah. I just know that they, if you're going to worry about injuries, I think Carolina's had about three or four season enders for important pieces on their squad. And they also are trying to start up a QB controversy based out of that Hall of Fame game, whether it's the fan base or whoever. So I would not want to be.
I will say week one in Carolina will be interesting because I have a flight home booked about 6 o'clock from Minneapolis that day. And I think I'm kind of determined to set a record for drunkest I've ever been on a plane.
Well, that'll be impressive too, because that's like a 45-minute flight.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've got, you know, the noon kickoff, right? And so game ends 3:30, head straight to the airport from there. You know, I don't have to do much at the airport to just ride it out.
No,
because I'm going to sit maybe in some Minneapolis bar. I mean, I looked it up. The Bears Bar in the Twin Cities in St. Paul. And, you know, everyone there is going to be, like, pre-gaming for Vikings-Packers down the street at 3. So
good time to get the hell out of town.
Yeah, right. So, but that, you know, and don't worry, folks. When we reconvene after week one, I will tell you how it went.
Oh, you'll be our man on the scene.
Well, not in Carolina, I won't be.
No, but the other scene. It's your scene, but it's not your scene.
It's my, yeah. So.
Anyway. It's a scene, it's not the scene.
My scene, yeah. All right. Is that Bears Weekly?
Yeah, that's your
beloved
Bears Weekly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where we're back.
It's a nice place to be.
Before we get to various baseball corners, because John's got baseball thoughts, people, let me tell you.
No.
Well, maybe not tonight, but we'll pry them out of him. I suppose we have not done one of these since the Hawks brought home their prodigal twat in Patrick Kane. Everyone knows what I think. I wrote about it today as I returned to the newsletter. It is a loser signing for a loser organization. But if any of you three would like to add your thoughts, feel free.
No, I
my
mean,
thoughts are. I mean, go ahead, Matt. Sorry, Google
no,
first.
No, go right ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, like, I mean, I know it's contrary to the company line, but I think they had to do this, and that's their fault. But they had to do this. I don't think there was any other thing that they could do to just drive interest to a point where it's like people will actually watch this team and show up to
at least for the first month
to the United Center. Yeah, well, they can make this thing into something that people will show up for. Just knowing this fan base, like I just
oh, 100%. Yeah,
I was told
they're already in the bag.
I was told the members were already happy. The members were on board. They understand the plan, the process.
Yeah, of course they do. I mean, we know that Danny is not ever going to put the fire to Kyle's feet at least for 4 to 5 years, I would say. I'm serious. I really believe this. But at the same time, like this just was such a no-brainer for them to do, even if it sucks and doesn't actually help.
By all accounts, Danny was super horny for it too.
Of course he was.
Yeah, he was making the calls.
Yeah, he recognizes that player.
He
knows
in the
who
control
he is.
Center. He mm-hmm. was.
He was spinning his chair in his office.
Ordering the queso, yeah.
If you're making signings because you need to keep interest and sell tickets, you've already lost.
Oh, yeah.
Correct.
But they have already lost. We know that. Nobody else seems
to
know
it. It needs stating.
I'm getting yelled at on all kinds of different platforms for not thinking the Blackhawks are any good. Like somehow I'm insulting individual fans.
Who? Well, other than Reddit, who yells at you?
People yell at me.
I mean, you're there to get yelled at on Reddit.
I may have dipped into a YouTube channel here or there. You know, you might find me in different places.
I worry about you then, I guess.
Meanwhile, I'm you know, biting my tongue till it bleeds in the fifth third locker room at a rat hockey.
I thought you only played with Wings fans.
No, that's a lot of the actual team. This is like a private rat kind of thing.
I got you. I know what rat hockey is. You know, our listeners will too.
But yeah, no, having to hear how great Ian Cole is and what a family man he is in the locker room, and yeah,
but, you know, these people just aren't as plugged in as we are.
No,
well, he knows his uncle. The guy knows his uncle, so he knows what a great guy he is.
Don't bite your tongue till it bleeds.
Yeah. Well, no, you probably should in locker room in that sort of situation. It's the smarter move.
It's not.
No, no, I just don't want your tongue bleeding.
Oh, right.
As opposed to, you know, bleeding from my face before we even left town for Killian's bachelor party.
Yes. Well, there's a callback. Yeah, I mean, I don't if the point of this, and it could only be that they were actually slightly worried that they wouldn't sell tickets as they go 1-10 in October.
Oh, they're still going 1-10.
Well, let me ask you guys a question.
Yep.
If Bedard doesn't get injured, do they sign Patrick Kane?
Yes.
I think
they still do.
Okay. I think maybe not, but
they probably don't. They probably don't do the whole Ross and Rachel will they, won't they floating shit into the press for as long as they did. If he doesn't get hurt, they probably just fucking do it.
Well, my understanding was that he was the one that was waiting
for anyone else to make an offer
to match the offer that the Hawks were. Cause I think he was getting a lot of like 1 year deals and the Hawks were the only ones from
Buffalo from a place that like actually could do something
right with less money. Yeah.
Right. But in Buffalo, he's playing on the third line and he doesn't get power play time.
Right.
He probably gets second unit power play, but still, you know.
He spent so much of his life in Chicago and a little bit now in Detroit that I don't think Buffalo means as much as.
No, but it doesn't mean nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he's not going to get the kind of. But also,
if he plays in Buffalo, his dad.
The kind of reception that he's going to get. Like,
coming back here, Buffalo.
Yeah, this is going to be fantasy land for him. This is fantasy camp.
Oh, you can do no wrong. Yeah,
exactly. But, it's perfect for him.
If he signs in Buffalo, his dad, Dr. Roxo, only has to drive 5 minutes to the arena.
Yeah, he can buy his dad a fucking house in Chicago. Or probably has.
I think he did.
Yeah.
So no problem. It's not an issue. Like, nobody wants to be in Buffalo.
But, you know, his dad still.
His wife is here.
Based,
his kids here.
Quote unquote in Buffalo, and he drives everywhere.
Like the Madden Cruiser.
Yeah, he doesn't like to fly, and it's very important that he's at most of the games.
He's at most of the bars, too, even more importantly.
Well, yeah, and
this
specifically
is a great option
the bathroom.
For him. Yeah, great option for old man Kane.
There are a couple things out there since the signing, Sam, that I wanted to discuss with everybody.
Please
don't read Reddit at me.
No, I'm not reading Reddit
We're
at
not going to read Reddit at you.
I worry about your mentals. I would never do that.
Sorry, and your bleeding tongue.
Yeah. And your bleeding tongue, yes.
My bleeding ass.
My bleeding tongue.
So obviously Bedard is hurt, but he's going to be back at some point. Is the expectation
to get hurt again? Yeah.
And you know, I guess it's just assumed. Oh well, Kane's going to skate with Bedard. This will be Bedard's best line mate that he's ever had in the NHL.
That is
in Patrick Kane. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't work like that. A and B, I feel like people are making this assumption that, oh, well, Connor Bedard is just like Artemi Panarin and Alex DeBrincat, and they're just going to click right away. That's not the type of player that Connor Bedard is. He's not the same player.
No, he's puck dominant too.
Yeah. So who's going to give who the puck there?
And he's 38.
Who's pucking who?
He's 38.
He's 38. That's the second point that I wanted to get to,
Matt. With an artificial hip.
That's the second point I wanted to get to. This assumption that oh well, this is now that the Hawks have Kane, this is great. They're getting the band back together. Do you remember what the band was like from 2017 to 2022?
Bad band.
And that was almost at the peak of his powers. Still, even when you had him and he was 100 points per season,
didn't win a playoff game.
didn't even get sniff the playoffs. So now you got him at 38 with an artificial hip, as Matt just said. Why do you think that's gonna magically be better? Because Connor Bedard and Frank let him Kizar
be puck, you can't let him be puck dominant. Even at his fastest, going on 20 years ago now, it's not fast enough to allow him to carry the mail blue line to blue line, stop, and then wait for everyone to pick. Like, you can't do that anymore. He's a situational guy. Like, he's just not a top six player.
Yeah, it's
and if nothing else with Kyle, at least he's put a bunch of fast guys in the top six. Kane's now the one that's slowing the whole fucking thing down.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I guess it'll be sort of interesting to see how this goes, because to Matt's point, everybody's fast except him now. So he's going to be like the Andrew Brunette in 2012.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting. Like, I'm curious to see it.
It's going to be like a fucking disaster. It's going to be hilarious.
Yeah, I'm curious to see it.
I mean, define disaster.
As in, now their respectable moonings are 5-3 instead of 3-1. If that. And that's if...
But if he scores and everyone gets to sing the song, do other Hawks fans think it's a disaster?
No, they think it's fine. Things are moving in the right direction, yeah.
And they get another high draft pick, which they want.
Do you think most Hawks fans know how many points Patrick Kane had last year?
No, they think he had 120.
Do you know how many points he had?
45.
I looked it up. It's in the 50s, right?
57.
Yeah.
57. I was one off.
Would you care to guess where that ranks?
Well, on the team or?
No, in the NHL.
Tell me his point per.
He played 67 games.
Okay.
So what, at a 0.8 point per? Yeah, that's no good. Who the hell needs that?
So what, was he 127th?
98th.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll miss plenty of time.
Troy Terry had more points per game than he did. You think if the Hawks signed Troy Terry, people would be as excited?
No.
I would be.
You would be.
But I'm a pervert.
But we know that's not what's happening here.
Yeah, I can't watch it. I was so excited to leave this all behind. You know, like when they moved him out, they're like, you know what, we're moving on. It's time for a new Hawks era.
Well, we didn't even get to that, but yeah, Sam, could keep it going.
I guess I was stupid for believing them.
Right.
But like,
it's still Wirtz in charge, Sam.
It's still Wirtz in charge, and you know what? He might be more clueless than the one before him.
He's fiddling. He's a fiddler.
Yeah, at least Rocky mostly stayed out of the way. Perhaps to his detriment.
Well, that's another era they're bringing back too. With all of that and Ian Cole.
Yeah, they can't. They can't stand up to any of their principles as soon as it looks like it might not work. Which is the only test that matters. So I can't do it. I have no interest in watching this team at all. And going back to 2016 and 2017 and having to deal with all those assholes, or going to the United Center and seeing them all in the jerseys, I can't do it. I just can't. You know, and if they're satisfied, if everyone's satisfied by watching him set up Bedard for a goal to make it 5-3, and they can give up another empty net goal, then haven't they led the league in empty net goals against for like 3 years?
That's the respectable movie.
You know what? That's fine. Remember when we used to sing this song when it mattered? If that's your whole organizational philosophy, great. Have at it. And Frank Nazar can go count his money. He and Byram, they're going to sit in the corner and count their money.
No, they're going to buy houses.
They're going to buy houses. Well, they can't now because Foligno's not here to tell them how to do
it. Oh, right. Okay. I forgot who the real estate agent
was. Maybe Kane will
tell
them how to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he's here for.
Well, we know what Ian Cole will tell them how to do.
Yeah. They probably got that down pat. They're hockey players.
They all know how to do that. That's preternatural for these people.
Yeah. Except for Connor Bedard, who I don't think has sex.
I actually agree with that.
He probably should. He could use it, but
get those shoulders loose.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, that's it for that. I know that we are ostensibly a Hawks podcast, Well, we'll test also, that come October.
It also papers over the whole like defenseman thing, which is funny because we're not talking about that at all.
I think that's part of it too.
You know, you're not sitting here going like, wow, well, we really need a large number of players to just like do a 180 and become good. Just because, right. Like, as everybody online likes to say, it takes time. So hopefully the magical thing that makes them instant, you know, become good eventually. I guess
skill at development, which they have never shown any interest in.
Well,
but it's like they'll get good because they'll get good.
They'll get good because it's going to take time and because that's how you do it. You get good by playing more. There's nothing else you need to do.
Except when you're Kevin Korchinski, then you need to sit back and
right.
Well, don't talk about that one. That one doesn't count. But the rest of them will be fine.
That one doesn't count.
That one doesn't count.
And they're going to rue the day that they traded what the hell is even his name now? I'm forgetting.
Bokfist?
No.
Chokaharju?
No, the big
they
oaf.
Traded all of them. Crevier.
Yeah,
him.
Well, that will be another fun thing to track, the subplot of Louis Crevier becoming a folk hero in Buffalo.
He's going to play games that matter.
The same way that Zadorov is.
Yes.
And was. Yeah.
That does feel inevitable to me.
It is funny that they don't... No Hawks fans bring up Zadorov, but I feel like they should. Because he seems like
bring
somebody
him up to
that...
what?
Well, because he's still around, Sam. I mean, he was one of the worst Hawk defensemen I've ever seen. But somehow, 6 years later, he's still...
Now he's one of the worst Bruins defensemen I've ever seen.
But
is that where he still is? Is he still there?
Yeah, he's in Boston.
Perfect place for him.
But I think he went to Buffalo first, right? I think that's where was he? No? Okay.
No, he went somewhere else.
Was it Calgary?
Anyways.
Calgary.
Thank you.
Pat.
Calgary. That's another team that's just pointless.
Yeah, I don't think the Hawks will be worse than Calgary this year, unfortunately. But
I don't know. They were miles behind them last year, were they?
Yeah, I mean, they weren't.
Yeah.
They were, what, pretty firmly second worst, right? Vancouver, by far the worst?
Well, Calgary had 77 points, so they're 72, so they weren't miles. But
yes. Well,
that's a lot, though. That's a lot.
Well, let's look at the regulation wins, though.
I remember.
27-22, that's bigger.
Yeah. It's a bigger five.
That's a bigger five than the 5 points, that's for sure.
I don't know, man. I guess nobody wants to listen to the every one who's out of town stupid who says that these rebuilds never have ever worked. But I guess we don't, you know, those people don't know anything, and the people who want this team to win.
From for Danny, it's probably a brilliant move because he's going to be just... I mean, look, he's getting all the good publicity that he loves, and people
he's
are excited.
To buy so much Qdoba.
Yeah. People are excited about the Hawks.
Oh, big time.
In a way that they probably weren't before.
In a way that they should not be at all.
Right. That's going to carry over through. They'll be able to.
Well, no, he'll get to fire Blazil. If they lose like three of the first, if they suck shit for when Bedard's out.
No, that's his second coach. How many does he get?
As many as it takes.
Yeah,
they're
apparently
not going to fire Blashill that quickly, though.
No, yeah, it won't be that quickly. Because that's what I'm saying is that they'll be able to maintain that excitement through the first month and a half, because then it'll be, they'll get to play up, Kane and Bedard coming soon.
Yeah, you got to wait for that.
Yeah,
hang on a second. Let me do the Beavis here. Hang on. Let me go through their first 10 games here, John.
Okay.
At Vegas, at Utah, at Buffalo, Blues at home, at the Islanders, Carolina, Pittsburgh, Winnipeg, Dallas at home. 1-9 is on the cards here.
Yeah, but you know how this goes. They're going to win one stupid game because somebody's going to it'll just be a fluky
thing.
But
if you're 1-8-1 or 2-7-2 or something like that, 2-7-1.
You're dead
2-6,
already.
You're toast, and all that goodwill that they have goes away. And I don't care if Bedard's not there. Somewhere, someone's going to be like, hey, wait a minute. This is like when they started with that year, they started with Fleury and whoever else, And yeah. It went total balls up, and Phil Collin Housley. Was out of a job like a month later.
Oh, no, the other flurry.
Yeah.
Flower?
Like, if they start off horribly, and it's there for them to do that,
it took two
someone's
weeks,
getting fired.
It took 2 weeks for this franchise to turn what is widely considered the nicest, most personable guy in the last, 40 years on the ice into a raving lunatic in Marc-Andre Fleury.
Why does it turn anyone else into a raving lunatic, though?
Turned me into one.
All these players just like, oh, I believe in this, and this is this, and it's great, and da da da. Like,
I mean, I get they got this 7-game homestand, right? You know, after the first 4 or 5 on the road, and it's at home, so you can see them jumping up and biting the Penguins or the Jets or the Stars, I guess. But they could also lose it all. I mean, if they really tank October, and I'm telling you, it's on the cards that they do, someone is going to get fired. Because you said, well, people are excited. That means people are going to be paying attention. And when you blow, people are going to notice.
They're just going to have the excuse of Bedard's hurt.
And then they're going to have the excuse of it takes time to build chemistry.
See, they still got their excuses going. There's tons of them.
You're making Andrew's point that it's going to be interesting to see.
Yes, it is. It is going to be interesting to see.
It'll be interesting to read about. I'm not going to see it.
There you go. Read about.
I will watch it. John, will you be watching it?
I'm going to do a mix of reading about it and watching it.
Okay. I'm going to watch it. I want to see.
I'm rooting for you, Slack.
I appreciate it.
Andrew's using interesting as a value neutral.
First of all, interesting is never
exactly
a good thing ever. You know that as a Top Chef watcher.
Yes.
This food is interesting. Oh, no.
Oh, and Tony Khan press conferences.
Yeah.
If he says interesting, that's bad.
Bad news. You don't want to hear that.
That's an interesting question. It means your question is stupid, or I have no intention of doing what you're suggesting.
Why don't you sign that wrestler? Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. That means that he's never going to sign that person. Ever.
I've had some interesting conversations with that wrestler. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. All right, John, you want to do some White Sox Corner before we get to the Cretans?
No, Sam. I've been in a good mood all podcast, and you want to make me angry now.
It's not nice.
You were just saying how much you were enjoying baseball after the World Cup.
Well,
he
no,
just
it,
said
it
was too many close
interest.
Games, and they're pissing him off. Listen,
yeah, now I'm not. I'm over it. All these close games, it sucks the life out of you.
Can't do it.
No, I can't. Especially against the fucking Reds.
Can't do it.
You had it was like a cakewalk game. You were up 4-0. Should have been. What would Hawk say? Pack it up and send it to Cooperstown. That's what it should have been. Or whatever he used to say about that. And all of a sudden, the Reds
get
5 unanswered.
It's plausible he could have said it.
Yeah. And then the Reds get 5 unanswered, and you lose in the fucking Manfred inning. Blow me.
The big question is, what does this mean for the Pope? I feel like he's a...
Well, that's the other thing, too. How do you lose the damn Pope game? Yeah.
Not only lose it, but you piss
it
away.
Blow it.
See,
yeah.
I feel, as the Catholic here, that... losing the Pope came in that fashion is the most appropriate outcome possible.
You
for a White Sox
us,
fan
yes.
for a White Sox fan Pope, absolutely.
You know what? Who agree with you? The Pope.
Yeah,
I just don't agree with the hats. I don't like the hats. It's minor.
Well, you're
going
to be seeing more Bears themed Pope hats this year.
Fine,
they've had a whole year to prepare now.
You think the
Andrew,
Bears are going to
just
ride
hates
the Pope
the White
wave?
Sox? Andrew just hates the White Sox, even though he's married into a Sox family, which probably makes him hate them more.
They don't even have the channel, John. What would you say about that?
Does John have the channel?
I do. Yeah, Sam. I told you my rule. If they were over 500 by the end of May, I was going to keep it until they weren't.
And so here we are.
Yeah, I'm a man of my word, Sam.
And now you need to keep it so you can half watch and half read about the Hawks.
Yes.
And see Chud Frank during
intermission. This was a really aggravating night for me as a baseball observer because this series, the way that it was lined up, should have been a sweep for the Sox.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Reds suck, man.
You start off with your best pitcher. You got the Luis Castillo revenge game 2. And then game 3, you're going to have Davis Martin. And by that point, the Reds are packed up and ready to leave.
hanging the I'm not interested sign.
Yeah. It should have been an easy three games, and then you got Detroit and Cleveland playing each other, and let them beat the hell out of each other. Instead, Detroit's probably going to sweep Cleveland. The Sox are probably going to lose 2 out of 3 to Cincinnati, and then they're going to go up to Detroit and get swept. And then Detroit will be in first place, and John Morosi is going to fucking jizz everywhere talking about their record since June 1st. And then they're going to lose in 3 games to whoever the fuck they play in the first round.
They might not have to get the first round. The AL Central might get a bye.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They'll get swept in 3 games in the ALDS.
5 games. Or 3 games. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Come on, Sam. I'm with you. I'm sorry. My bad.
Try and keep up.
I'm really trying. The baseball postseason. Baseball postseason wears my ass out the way you're worn out right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I would have been fine if that last Boston game, if it was either the Sox won it or they had won it going away 8-2 or 8-1. Then you could at least have some breathing room. Instead, it was a back and forth 14 inning game that you pissed away for no reason. Then you come home to Cleveland. And you lose, or you win 2 out of 3, but all 3 of the games are tight, except the one you lose, which is a fucking blowout. And then now you finally get a breather game in Cincinnati where your ace goes 7 innings, and then the first fucking guy you pull out of the bullpen can't get a motherfucker out, and you blow your 4-1 lead to the Reds. And you burn through your best reliever because you had him pitch 2 innings tonight. So now Grant Taylor's out for tomorrow at minimum. Maybe even game 3. And you have 16 days.
Is that a getaway? Is that an afternoon game on Thursday too?
I believe so. Yeah. So, Sam, are you happy now? You got my baseball thoughts.
I am, actually, yes.
Okay.
You really put one over on you, John, I have to say.
Well, you know what? He asked for it. He brought down the Thunder.
You know what? You fucked off and cost me this live at Comiskey on Friday, so I'm going to get it on the podcast. This is what I wanted at Comiskey.
Oh, my God.
And you had to go, you had to go see someone's moon.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have it here. And you're just
and we could have gotten 3 bonus tickets, too, because Ja canceled on us.
That's true. It would have been... It's just making for a very itchy final month and a half. And then by the point, if they even make the playoffs, I don't even care anymore. Fuck it. I don't care. Because I'm burnt out.
How itchy of a September are you talking? You didn't expect them to be playing games in September that mattered.
Well, no, Sam, but now they've got me bought in.
Okay. Listen to you. I mean, you are bought in. I can tell the tone of your voice.
Exactly. They've had many opportunities to kind of pack it in. They blew that 6-run lead to Houston a few weeks back. They were down. They lose the first 2 games to the Yankees, and they're down 4-0 in the 8th, and then they end up coming back and winning in extra innings, and then they split split that series. Then they go to Tampa and win 2 out of 3. All right. Like, they've had ample opportunities to kind of pack it in. They lose the first 2 games in Cleveland going into the All-Star break when they had that 4-game set at Jacobs Field, and they or Progressive or whatever the fuck they call it now. You could have packed. They could have packed it in there, and instead they come back and they win those 2 tight games in Cleveland to split that series, and I think that went into the All-Star break. Like they're very resilient, so they're enjoyable to watch. On one hand, on the other hand, it's fucking miserable because every game is nip and tuck.
So I think the overall thesis statement here, Sam, if I could sort of translate here for John.
You speak John.
I speak Sox fan angst. Is that just because this season has found money doesn't mean that his baseball sensibilities can't be offended and they aren't going to pay
his
ass.
They certainly are.
Well, and that's the other thing too, Matt, is that it's a season of found money, and the way baseball has become, you don't find money that often unless you're the Dodgers.
Yeah, like we talked about in the real show, John.
Yeah.
You end up with Vlad Guerrero OPSing 650 for a whole season. Like, what the hell? What are we supposed to do? How do you overcome that?
Right. You got to strike where the iron's hot. And you know, I don't want to compare the two teams, but I'm going to. You know, people talked about how the Hawks, you don't understand how rebuilds work. And then they still are in 31st place every year. Well, the Sox, this took a year and a half to turn around, and they're above 500 and they're fighting for a playoff spot. When you have good players, good. That's sort of the thing.
It's paradigm shifting. What happens there?
Yeah, it's this weird thing. You know, it's not like
one
just
weird
because you have
trick.
A bunch of young players. And I've seen Sox fans say it, and it's stupid, and I don't really engage. But, you know, saying like the Sox are 2 or 3 years ahead of schedule. No, they're not ahead of schedule. This is the schedule.
Well, the schedule's changed now.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of that. You're so right, though. That's so fucking annoying.
Right. If like, you have a young, good team, they should be young and good and win.
Now,
like, it's not something that you have to, like, level up to become this master winning program. Like, you just win if you're good. But anyways, that's Baseball Corner, Sam. It's going to be a long month and a half. I'm halfway to throwing in the towel after tonight's loss, and I'm sure they'll pull me back in at some point.
I hope so, because I'm loving it.
But I definitely have to give myself – I'm baseball psychotic when it becomes – like this, so I do have to give myself mental break. So I'll probably not tune in at least a couple times over the weekend. Like, I'll just check the score on the app,
he will save it for the sidebar Sox Agita chat.
Indeed,
with me and our very good friend.
Okay, good friend who edits Ravenous. Subscribe to Ravenous. Not as good for the soul. Or you'll go see someone else's moon. You know, take a break.
Yeah.
Yeah. Slack, one word on the Cubs.
Good.
And we're done. Sorry, let's get to the Cretans.
Well, yeah, it would be nice to be in that position where
he's still going.
The Cubs are basically qualified for the fourth seed, right?
I mean, it's basically locked in. Yeah
pretty much.
They could catch the Brewers, who are losing tonight. It could happen.
They have 7 games left with
your
those
team rules.
Butt fucks.
And they're what, 6 games behind?
They will be 3.5 tonight.
Oh, okay.
Right?
4.5, I think, Sam. 4.5, 4, or something like that.
But... Efforting. I'm doing John's job now. If the Brewers lose, it'll be 4 flat. We had it surrounded, Slack.
Mm, love it.
So that's possible.
They're shitting their fucking pants up there, I'll tell you right now.
Yeah. Well, they should. That's what they like to do.
That is what they do.
Still
while drunk driving with Tony.
One
Romo.
Of my top 5 Boys in Bernstein moments is when they announced they were... flexing that Bears-Packers game in 2006 at night on New Year's Eve, and it didn't matter. Like, the game did not matter, and all the Bears fans were pissed that the game was going to be
so
at
was
night.
Rex.
New Year's Eve. And so was Rex. And Bernstein's like, just sell your tickets to Packers fans. They're used to doing nothing and sitting in their own vomit. And then some Packers fan called. He didn't get the bit. And he's like, I've never sat in my own vomit. And Bernstein's like, yes, you have. And he's like, no, I haven't. He's like, well, then you should try it.
And you're going to. On New Year's Eve.
On New Year's Eve. It's like, just sell your ticket to Packers fans. They're used to not doing anything and sitting in their own vomit, and this will be great for them. Yes, you have. Well, you should try. Anyway, the one Cretan question I have is actually sort of a Cubs corner question, and we'll attack it quickly, because it comes from Mike Jacoby, who's a longtime guy.
Okay.
With Pedro Ramirez being good, versatile, fun, and not a rotting dog turd that we're aware of yet... like certain Matt Shaw, how soon do the Cubs trade Pedro and keep Shaw around for quote-unquote reasons? I would assume it'd be this offseason. Can Pedro play left field?
Everyone can play left field.
Anyone can play left field.
My good friend Sahadev has discussed this today on his podcast that I didn't know existed until a few days ago.
Do he and Mooney do a podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The assumption is that...
all Illini corner all the time.
Say is going to get a very large offer to leave, which makes sense. Ian Happ might take a discount to stay, which I'm sure will piss everybody off. But there's a scenario where Pedro plays left field and Shaw plays right field next year.
That's a bad scenario.
That's the scenario.
Is Saya getting huge paper, a foregone conclusion with the looming work stoppage? And
I don't have the answer to that question.
That whole deal.
Does Saya hit lefty pitching? Does Saya hit lefties?
Yes.
Yeah, he's right-handed.
He hits everything. He's
then yes.
He will probably get a large offer from somewhere. Could be the Cubs as soon as they sign this deal, which will look a lot like this CBA.
He would have to like do either a short contract and be willing to do it. I mean, the Cubs will have the annual. They could pay him like whatever that looks like. But
qualifying offer.
Well, no, I'm saying he's not. He's not getting. He's unrestricted. There's no qualifying offer.
Isn't that's how baseball works, right? You decline it, and then you get the draft pick.
Maybe I don't know. My point is, that's usually less than what he could get on the open market. I feel like a team like the Blue Jays is going to throw him like some absurd contract because that's what they do. John's Blue Jays. Very annoying. But
anyway, well, that's what's going to happen there, Mike Jacoby.
Yeah, or you know, maybe they try to bleed or whatever the word is, bring up Alcantara again, give him a shot. I don't know, but it doesn't feel like Suzuki's going to be long for the team, and I think they're not going to trade Pedro Ramirez this offseason. I feel good about that. I will say that right now. They're not going to do that.
I'm trying to think what they would trade him for. It would be for another established outfielder, I guess, because the pitching staff's pretty much filled out, right?
I don't think so.
Well, Steele and yeah, Horton will be back, maybe.
No, Horton won't be back.
Steele might be dead.
Horton won't be back at the beginning of next year. He's going to miss time. There's no way he's back at the beginning of next year. No shot.
He'll maybe back May or June.
Not to mention it's a second Tommy John, which usually means you're fucked. So it'd be pretty dumb to count on that.
All right, well, maybe they are looking for another pitcher.
Yeah,
they would be looking for him as trade bait.
I think so. Shaw would have been traded. I think Shaw would have potentially been traded if he wasn't hurt. I think they're looking to trade him for something before his value.
Yeah, I don't think they need both of them.
They don't. They love Ramirez, according to, again, my good friend.
Your good friend, Sahadev.
Yeah. I like Pedro as well. He's a swell guy. I also would like to make it clear, I do not care about his political leanings whatsoever. He's not my friend. He can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Who, Pedro? Or
just hit the ball.
Sahadev?
Pedro. Pedro or Sahadev. You know. Our political things align. We love Illini hoops. That's what counts. David Mirkovich will be back for the regular season, for those who are worried.
Was there a question that he wouldn't be?
He just had foot surgery.
Oh.
It's fine. Foot surgery.
Mark. You don't need your foot.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
As a basketball player.
He'll be kicking in faces. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all I had to contribute for the Cretan section. Matt, what do we have on the main? Or Slack, did you have ones that you wanted to?
I had some. Let me just find them. Matt, did you have any?
Oh, yeah, I got a bunch.
Oh, okay. Here we go. First from, I guess I'll do this one, from Blaze Weedman. Does Kane even finish the season? No.
Oh, he'll finish. Well, finish how? Is he going to retire? No. He's going to get his money.
No, he's going to miss a lot of time, though.
Probably. Oh, he's going to miss a lot of time. Yeah, I would guess.
Timothy J, long time. Who has more wins by Halloween? Bears, 7 games, or Hawks, 13 games? It's definitely the Bears, right?
Bears.
I would hope the Bears, yes.
Yeah. From Northside Pat, this is Cubs related. Have you ever seen a better pitched game than Scooble's 6K loss to the Cubs last week? No, I have not. And that's why there were 5 million headlines about it.
Indeed. And I got to
that's
to
another
next
reason
day.
Why the Tigers doing this would be incredibly annoying.
It could be the second time.
It's
when
it,
was
yeah,
the other time?
The dead 2 cat bounce ago. Or whatever you want to call it. They did do that. Yeah, it's everybody loses their shit over these things. In the short term, and it just like it never works out the way
they still lost. Then they didn't Cleveland eliminate them in 3 games.
Yeah, but they sold at the deadline, and then they made the playoffs.
Yeah, right. It's annoying. It is. That's annoying. Really annoying.
Yeah, they lost to Cleveland. They scored like 4 runs or something.
Sam, I got one more. This is for you and me. AJ okay. Says,
"Of course.
How are you guys feeling about the all in build? Feels off to me for some reason." My quick answer, I don't want to take up too much time, is that redemption build was definitely off because that shouldn't have existed. But this feels good. I'm excited about what is to come, and I don't feel bad about it really at all.
Can I agree with both of you? It feels off to me, and I'm excited.
Well, here, what feels off to me is the lack of where's Swerve to me. I don't.
Yeah, that's weird. That but you know, he's not. I mean, they can if he's not around, they can still put together a great show. I was hearing today on the podcast that Redemption only existed because my AEW, they like having the monthly pay-per-views on my AEW.
Oh, that's a bad reason.
I don't know. I don't know if it's a good or bad reason. I know the pay-per-views must do good business for them if they feel they need to cram one in.
Yeah, for sure.
No, I'm excited for All In, but you know, they're you know, you got. I'm not in love with the main event scene. I'm very excited for Mercedes and Willow. I think I almost think that should main event. I think Hangman being in the trios is a little weird. I thought there would be more to this tag match than just Bucks and Cope and Cage, which doesn't really set my heart alight, but I think the Bucks will make it worthwhile. And then everything
you
else.
You think they'll
still...
add a stip before the show?
No.
Okay. They should. Maybe.
I mean, they should, but I don't know if they will. You're talking ladders?
Yeah, something. Something.
Yeah,
like that.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. And everything else is still kind of up in the air, right? We don't. There's the
still
gauntlet.
Got four dynamites to go. I mean, it's the build is. Typically,
well, it's
they
less
don't
than
build.
That. I mean.
Typically, the build, yeah, maybe three.
12th, 19th, and 26th?
They don't usually put their foot on the gas till a couple weeks out.
Yeah.
Unless
I'm waiting
this,
to see.
The couple debuts probably coming up, which will be interesting and fun.
Which will be great. So, I mean, I'm excited. It'll still be a great show. But, yeah, I see where AJ's coming from.
There you go.
We don't know exactly what Kevin Knight's going to be doing. I feel like he should have a big match for this, so we don't have one yet. Yeah. So.
All right.
Anyway, to the main feed.
All main right. Feed. Got a couple
to
here.
The little girl's room.
To the B-mobile. Leo Ward, inspired by tonight's Pope Pat promo. What is your most prized gate giveaway?
One
that you wanted, but missed out on. I was hungover and showed up too late for the Cubs Star Wars blanket in 2018.
Wow.
It's okay. I had $30 in exchange for his because I was freezing my goddamn nuts off.
Well, they ruined Floppy Hat Day.
Honestly, my favorite giveaway is one that I don't have because the story is better. Is the Hawks hard hat?
Yeah,
that was a great one.
Well, yeah, I had one briefly.
Yeah,
you threw it. I assume.
Of course.
I don't.
And whoever
like
did, and whoever or... and whoever didn't hang on to it the first time definitely threw it the second time.
John, what was the giveaway that you nearly had to forfeit your own daughter for last year?
The Sox radio, the old Comiskey radio.
Old Comiskey?
It was a Comiskey Park radio. That's not my most prized.
No, it's not your most prized, but your daughter nearly did leave the family because you guys made her get out there so early.
Yes. My Hawk and DJ bobblehead is the best one that I've got.
That's pretty good.
Stretch.
I mean, when COVID was finally loosening up, John, we got the Tommy Bahama shirts.
Indeed. Yep. Got a couple of those.
John, you may remember, I thought they did this for the first couple home games after the NHL lockout. It might've been the first one, but everyone got a mini Stanley Cup.
Oh, I didn't get that.
I got for the one. First game. My friend I went with, he still has it.
I've got mine.
He drinks out of it.
You might as well.
Is that Ted?
No.
Not a big giveaway guy, but the I've got a Dennis Savard bobblehead over here somewhere.
That's pretty good.
Pretty nice.
Yeah, I don't have any.
I have a Pat and Dale bobblehead, too.
Oh,
I'll tell you
that's a good one.
I'll tell you this, what I still have. The Hawks gave away a cutting board years ago. Still have that.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. That's like useful.
Practical. Yeah.
Indeed.
Did anyone get it? I don't have it, but I remember it was a big thing. The Zamboni gravy boat right before Thanksgiving.
No, I never got that one, sadly.
All right. I don't know. Should I ask? It's longtime guy, Russell Perlman. Should I ask something that might get John's peppers hot again?
We're already there.
Yeah. Right.
Is it too early to put Chris Getz in the not a moron category?
Yes, it's too early.
Okay, stop right there.
At least he seems better as a GM than he ever was as a player.
Yes, I would agree with that.
But yeah,
the best thing, and we've talked about this before, that Getz has done is he's just not bringing in the same Sox people over and over again. He's bringing people from other
like
organizations. No, he got Barfield from the Diamondbacks. He got somebody from the Rays.
He's telling Jerry they're from the White
Sox. It was a good joke, though.
It was.
I mean, that's where Bannister's from.
But Bannister's
that's
legit.
Where Chris Getz is from.
Yeah, I know. That's why.
Yeah. Bannister is my understanding is very, very good.
What's the White Sox team policy on pornography?
They're pro pornography.
Okay.
In their Pope hat.
Yeah.
They're bringing Hideki Matsui to be a roving instructor for that.
Jacking off into Pope hats. Hey, Bannister, I think, also did some time in San Francisco, too. Which I guess is not a good thing either, now that I say it out loud.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that Buster didn't want him around is probably, in the positive column for Bannister.
Yeah.
That's a plus.
Man, that guy really pissed it all away, didn't he?
Yep.
That guy fucking sucks.
All right, what else we got?
Demetrios, 24. Will Johnny and Fantino get set upstairs?
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
It does sound like it.
Yeah, so.
It'll be, that'll rule if he does.
There's always some shenanigans with FIFA, so he might find a way to hang on, but certainly sounds like it.
It's one of those things where I'm just always amazed at these people with publicly facing jobs that get a lot of publicity who are reviled and just don't quit. How do you just not quit? Like, I, you know what? I can
like
just
Dave
go away.
Wanstead's still on the fucking radio.
I could just go away right now and people stop talking about me like I'm the biggest asshole on the planet. I'm just going to quit. Just quit.
Or I guess I've never turned down a $5 million a year job or whatever.
He's already got $5 million. He's got more than that. Just go away. I mean, God, you could just make it all go away. 2 seconds. But nope, you're going to stay there and let people call you the biggest piece of shit on earth every day.
Every day.
And love
every
it.
Day.
Every day I wake up and people call me a piece of shit.
I mean, Bettman's been doing it for over 30 years now.
Yeah, but like
he's got nothing on old Johnny Baby. I'll tell
but
you
like
that.
Bettman's bosses don't call him a piece of shit, so I don't think he cares.
And Bettman can't really be voted out either.
And at this point, like the booing of Bettman and the hanging, it's just like a bit.
Yeah,
like, I don't think people like really believe it anymore.
I think they do. I think they do.
I think it. I mean, if they want to, fine. I don't. Everyone hates the commissioner overall.
You should
argue. You'd have to argue he's probably been a plus for the sport.
He's the kick boss.
Anyway, anything else? Anyway. We done? Should we go home? I mean, we are home, but...
Where are you?
All right, well, dude...
I am home, but yeah.
All right, you three can pick. Do you want to be asked by topic or by who's asking it? Do you want to do blunt?
Just rip through them, would you?
All right.
Jesus.
Amy's favorite.
Yay.
Hey.
Oh, our guy.
Should the Bears beat writers and Hawks beat writers switch teams they cover for one day so both teams get the attitude from the press they deserve?
I like it.
That sounds pretty good.
For that. That'd be great.
Although that would like triple the amount of people.
I was just going to say. Can they fit
then maybe people start to fucking see.
Right.
What do the Hawks have, like, four guys? Five?
Well, there's two from The Athletic.
Well, Lazarus is like a columnist now or whatever.
Yeah, but he still goes to games. So there's like five.
Yeah, four or five.
If we count Jay. Who Trib, doesn't?
Sometimes.
The Trib has Phil, right?
Someone covers them for the NHL.com or the Hawks.com, I assume.
Is it still Tracy?
But that's
still
a team employee.
I think it is Tracy.
That's a team employee.
I don't think she's a team employee, but yeah, so there's like six, maybe. Does it sometimes have a full-time? I don't know if they do.
Does that weirdo at the Daily Herald still cover the team?
I think so.
Yeah.
All right. Who's the weirdo at the Daily Herald?
Your guy, Dietz?
No.
Bruce Miles.
Bruce Miles is a saint. Do not speak ill of Bruce Miles.
So Dietz doesn't cover the Hawks anymore? That was your guy, Andrew. You loved sending his posts.
He's a nut. I don't think he does anymore.
Okay.
I think he got driven insane by Kovas.
Even if it's like seven, that's nowhere near the 15
oh my God,
the Bears have. Like, you know, The Athletic have three on their own.
The Tribune has more Bears writers
like
than the Hawks. Yeah.
Wait, he still is, and his last article was December 28th, 2025.
Now I want to see weirder.
Did they just kill him off
Blashill
in the middle of the season?
Yeah, they killed him.
I have questions.
I want Jason Leisure to ask Blashill and Kyle some questions.
Last two. Here we go.
All right. That it? I mean, there's a couple more, but they're...
Well, yeah, do them.
Sarcastic Mike, have any of you gotten into birds? What's your favorite bird?
I am not into birds.
I have gotten into birds. I got the Merlin app. You take it out, press a button, it'll
and
listen
it changes
to
your muffler.
It listens to all the birds and tells you what the birds are. It's pretty fun.
Is that a Partridge thing?
Well, I got a lot of birds around me now, so yeah. I want to know what the birds are. You got a what is it? We got a weirdo heron that hangs out at the pond. It's like a green billed
big ant
heron.
Yeah.
Big ant heron at the pond at Park Ridge.
It's a fucked up looking heron. Yeah. It's cool. That's my
throw that heron showing up to the pond with his Pope hat.
Yep.
I'm going to send these assholes a picture of this bird so you can see what I'm talking about.
We get herons at the retention pond at work sometimes.
And last but not least, what is last?
Last is Coughsicle. New guy. Good luck with your first crap. Of all the half-dead classic rock bands still touring, who would you like to see before they die or retire? Alternatively, who do you want to hurry up and die already? This year I've seen Rush, Deep Purple, Kansas, Styx, and Chicago. Yes. Yes, not the band, yes, but yes, my parents and in-laws have dragged me to all of them except Rush.
Styx.
I can't believe that any of
the
original members, there's got to be like one original member for each of those bands that he's seen, right? Like Deep Purple.
Can I put Foo Fighters on the list?
Go ahead, Sam. Sorry.
Are the Foo Fighters half dead?
Well, yeah.
I think they're only 25% dead.
They're only 25% dead. They could go away.
Is that just because they recently inconvenienced the North Side again?
No, I'm just generally annoyed by them.
They are annoying. Not a fan. I would have liked to have seen Rush, but tickets were like $1,000.
For all four shows?
I don't know. When I looked, it was ridiculous. Yeah. I was gonna potentially do like a, you know, off the cuff, take James to the United Center to go see Rush, but I was like, I'm not paying $1,000. That's insane.
You could have brought him to Rosenstock.
I don't think he would have.
I don't think that's his speed.
Well, his speeds are actually shockingly good, but I just, you know, not quite there yet.
Sam and I are going to see Sugar in Minneapolis while they're getting back together.
Yeah, but I don't want them to die.
But that's what I'm saying. But that's what we're saying is before
the other
before
two
they
guys
die,
might be closer than you think. I can't. It's too much.
I mean, that was a motivating factor in getting to see The Cure a couple years ago, Andrew.
Right. I mean, the thing is, like, all the bands that are great half show. Dead that I've seen, like, I the ones I want to see, I've seen. There's not really one on the list that like. Like Talking Heads are never getting back together, so I don't have to worry about it.
No, yeah. And if they did, they wouldn't sound any fucking good anyway. Unless they're playing on like...
He still sounds good.
Depends on what you think is good. Well, I want to hear the 1980, like 81 version.
Well, you're not going to sound like that.
Yeah, that's the problem, so I have no interest.
But people really liked it when he was last here playing the auditorium, I think.
He's a fucking weirdo.
Well, yeah, but that's the point.
Well, he needs to be more weirdo, less old right. man weirdo.
Well, I don't think he can
you want,
stop
You want him
man.
To get good, have a late in life, a G.G. Allen phase? Like, what do you want? How much weirder do you need?
Yeah, I want him to eat his own shit in the middle of a show.
Okay. All right.
All right.
All right. We are back, for better or for worse, and it's most likely for worse. We will be back next week. John's going to be breaking down tape. He's going to have all the all 22s ready to go for you. And we will continue to be the only podcast that is also not a video. So until then, for Slack, for John, for Matt, I am Sam. Thank you so much for listening and downloading and share. How does this go?
And
subscribing. Please rate, review, and share and subscribe.
And short.
Until next, until yeah, and short. Till next week, top guys.